All right, it's nice to see you this evening. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 13, and we're going to read two verses tonight, verses 45 and 46, and move forward in these kingdom parables. We're actually looking at the sixth of these parables of the mysteries of the kingdom. And if you remember from last week, we need to connect the parable from last week, really, with the parable from this week, because Jesus gives three parables right in a row to the disciples. If you remember the context in verse 36, now he's inside the house talking to these disciples, and he's, of course, teaching him about his work. And the first four of the parables given to the multitude emphasize the work that the devil's trying to do and to corrupt the work of God. These parables deal more with, of course, we looked at three audiences last week in Scripture. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, in verse 32, we read about the Jew, the Gentile, and the church. The Jew, the Gentile, and the church. We noted last week as we were studying the first of these last three parables that it doesn't matter where we turn in the Bible, we notice that God is dealing with either the Jew, the Gentile, or the church. These are the three audiences that we find in the Scriptures. So if we're going to rightly divide the Word of God, we have to understand who He's talking to. Now, when we looked at verse 44, we learned about the treasure hid in the field. And we looked at Old Testament Scriptures. Sometimes we have to compare Scripture with Scripture because the Bible is the best commentary on the Bible. And when we did that, we find that the treasure or the peculiar treasure mentioned again and again in the Old Testament is Israel. Okay, so in verse 44, the treasure hid in the field, remember the field represents the whole world, that treasure that was hid, which means it was scattered or it was insignificant to the rest of the world, that was the nation of Israel. And then when Jesus came to them, he was the man who found the treasure and then he hid them again. He hid them again because they rejected him. And then he went out and he sold for joy thereof. He sold everything he had and he bought not just the treasure, but he bought the whole field. He paid the price for the whole field because he wanted not just the treasure, but he wanted the whole field, the whole world. And we talked about the fact that Christ paid the sin debt of the whole world. In fact, the Bible says he's the propitiation for our sins and not ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world or the whole field. Now, the audience or the group that we're talking about primarily in that parable, of course, is the Jew. And we emphasize that. When we move on to the next parable, verses 45 and 46, we're dealing with a little different audience. We're talking about the church. In fact, look at verse 45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Now, a lot is said in just a few words again, right? A merchant man is seeking goodly pearls, who when he found one pearl of great price, he found this one pearl. It's of great price, but he went and he sold everything that he had and he bought that one pearl of great price. What are we talking about here? What are we emphasizing? Well, we see that Lord Jesus, of course, is emphasizing his work, and we've been talking about that continually. We have to remind ourselves he's talking to Jewish disciples, talking to these Jews. In fact, when he's talking about this treasure, they acknowledge later, Lord, we understand what you're talking about, but they really didn't even understand fully what he was speaking of. But they were part of the treasure. They were part of Israel. They were of these Jews. Now, we have to ask ourselves this question. The Jews just rejected Jesus Christ. That's what happened right before Jesus just said all these parables. So we have to ask this question. Is God's work through? I mean, God designed that he would make himself known to the Jews and through the Jews to the rest of the world. He put them in a certain place on the face of the earth so that that could actually take place. He put them at the crossroads of the world so that through them and through their testimony, the whole world could know of the true living God. They failed at that assignment, right? They failed to make him known. They rejected the Messiah when he offered himself to them. So they were set aside. They were hidden again. But we find when we read these next two verses that Jesus is indicating that he still has a marvelous work going on in this world right now. Okay? Is it through the Jew? No, they've been set aside. Now God is working in a marvelous way. He's still making himself known and wants to make himself known to the whole world. But how's he doing it now? Well, the Jews have been set aside for a time. It's as if, we said last week, as if he took the battery out of the clock. It stopped ticking. He's going to deal with them again at the end times. But how is he doing his work now? Well, he's doing it through the church. There's some people who say the pearl is talking about Jesus here. But this pearl is not talking about Jesus. It's talking about what Jesus gave himself to purchase. It's talking about what Jesus gave everything that he had to purchase. And that was the one pearl of great price, the church. The church. See, we're not dealing with Jew and Gentile now. We're dealing with one in one body, Jew and Gentile alike, who put their faith in Lord Jesus Christ, are a part of the church. And that's how God's doing his work in this world today. Look at just a couple references that emphasize it. In fact, look at John chapter 10. This is a familiar passage on the Good Shepherd, but look at verse 14. And notice a little phrase here that we find in this passage, John chapter 10, verse 14. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and have known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And listen to the language here. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. They shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold. Might want to note that word one there, and one shepherd. Who are these other sheep that he's talking about? They're not of this fold, but I'm going to call these other sheep too, and they're all going to be part of one fold. What's he referring to? He's referring these other sheep are the Gentiles who would believe on Jesus Christ. And so no longer is we're just talking about the Jews. We're talking Jew and Gentile alike in one fold or in one pearl of great price. We're talking about the church here. We're talking about the church. In fact, look in Matthew chapter 16 and we find where the word is first used in the New Testament. The church was not revealed in the Old Testament. It was hidden in God. And then God himself, the person of Jesus Christ, revealed this mystery that the Jews had no idea of. These Jewish followers had no knowledge of it. But Jesus revealed it to them. And then he would continue to reveal this teaching about the church. He said in Matthew 16, of course, they asked, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Jesus asked that question, and they had several answers because people said different things. But he said in verse 15, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now he's talking about something different. The word church means a called out assembly, but Jesus said, I will build my church. He's talking about Jesus Christ's called out assembly. And when they heard this term, they're hearing this term in a new way. Jesus Christ called out assembly. He didn't say, I will build the nation of Israel, because the church is not the same as Israel. He didn't say, I will build my kingdom. They knew what the kingdom was, but this was something new. I will build my church, because Christ was rejected by the Jews. They were set aside, and now Jesus Christ is going to do his wonderful work in this world through one body, Jew and Gentile alike, in one new body, one new organism here called the church. The church. Look at one other reference in Ephesians chapter 2. We see it very clearly. Look with me, Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 14 and 15. The Bible says, for he is our peace who hath made both one. He's talking about Jew and Gentile, now one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of the commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain, or of two, Jew and Gentile, to make of twain one new man. You might want to mark your Bible out to the side. That's the church. One new man, so making peace. So we're talking about something new. God's going to do his work now in this world through the church. It's referred to in this parable as the one pearl of great price. And the interesting thing is, it says, who's the merchant man? I think it's none other than Jesus Christ. He found this one pearl of great price, and we see the expression of the work of God because it says, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. You see, that's a picture of our salvation. Jesus Christ gave everything that he had, just like we saw in the earlier parable. He gave all that he had to buy the whole field. Well, the Bible says also clear in the New Testament that Jesus Christ loved the church, Ephesians 5:25, and gave himself for it. He gave all that he had. He gave himself. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20, that we are bought with a price. He bought us. What was the price? It was his own precious blood, right? And this is a story, this little parable is a story about the work of Jesus Christ in purchasing with his own precious blood. He purchased the church. He purchased the church. Now, we'll note just a couple things about it, and it gives a little emphasis to it because it's so beautiful. Why did he choose to use a pearl to describe it? I think there's some wonderful analogy there. In fact, you might want to notice in your lesson, first of all, a pearl comes from a living organism. Ever thought about that? Of all the precious stones, you mine a diamond, you can mine gold and mine the rubies and the sapphires and all these things, but a pearl comes from a living organism. It comes from an oyster, right? A living organism. It emphasizes the fact that the church, this one pearl of great price, begins with our living Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, it comes from him. We note also, when we think about a pearl, that it's formed from common, lowly material. If you remember a little bit of how a pearl is formed, in that oyster somehow, usually just a tiny grain of sand or something like that, intrudes into that oyster. It's an irritant. It's something that doesn't belong there. And as an intruder, it makes its way in, and somehow, through the processes that take place, that little tiny grain of sand, just something very lowly, becomes something wonderfully beautiful. It becomes a beautiful pearl. And isn't it amazing when we think about the church, how God takes people like me and you, I mean, just lowly sinners like we are, and he saves us and he makes us part of something wonderful and beautiful called the church. It's a wonderful thing. This parable will make you think a lot higher about the church. It makes us realize the price paid and the wonderful message we find in the New Testament about the church. Think about this, thirdly. A pearl is a product of suffering and death. In fact, when we read about how pearls are formed, when that little tiny grain of sand gets inside the pearl and it irritates the inside of that pearl, the pearl begins to secrete a substance and it forms around that little tiny grain of sand. And that substance is secreted, and literally that substance is the lifeblood of that oyster. It causes great suffering to that oyster, to that little organism of that oyster. It causes great suffering. In fact, eventually it causes just death. And literally that oyster gives its lifeblood, it gives its very life for the forming of that little pearl. Isn't that a beautiful picture? Because Jesus Christ gave his very life that he might purchase the church. He gave his life that we might live. And that's a beautiful picture, of course, of what it cost the Lord Jesus. It cost his very life that we might have this one pearl of great price, what we call the church. Notice the fourth thing. The pearl's formed over a long period of time. You know, it doesn't take just a day or 48 hours to form a pearl. It's a process. It takes a long time. And it reminds us of the fact that there are still people being saved today. It reminds us of the fact as long as we're alive, there's hope. We're praying for people to get saved. But it reminds us of the fact that there are people even that we don't know. Of course, the emphasis of the New Testament is overwhelming on the local church, and we thank God for it. But there are people whose faces I haven't even seen who are part of the family of God. And it's a beautiful thing. It's formed over a long period of time, Jew and Gentile alike, who've trusted Christ as Savior, are part of this one pearl. And then look, lastly, a pearl is beautiful to behold. We know that, right? It's something gorgeous. We don't talk about pearls as something ugly. We talk about something beautiful, something that's a prized possession. And you know what? When we think about the church, the Bible talks about in the book of Ephesians that Christ is going to present the church to himself one day with no spot and no wrinkle, beautifully adorned, holy and without any blemish as a bride prepared for her bridegroom. That's what the Lord Jesus is doing with the church. And I'm glad to be, I'm thankful for the treasure. That's wonderful. We learned about that last week. But I'm glad to be a part of the one pearl of great price, aren't you? And I'm glad, more than that, to know that Jesus Christ gave everything that he had that we might have this one pearl of great price. And we'll be a part of it. And it's the church. So take these things and may God use them to help us this week. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. Pray you bless in the meeting, Lord. Please give us exactly what we need and guide our pastor and help us to follow you in every way and glorify thy name. And thank you for all these teachers and workers, and may your blessing be on them. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.